Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to dismiss our children to Children's Church. Also, coming up on November 1st, all those who are recently baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, or at least just baptized, we're starting a new class called New Beginnings, and the first lesson will be taught by Sister Wogner, and it's just an outstanding lesson plan, and I'm very much looking forward to it. And there'll be a number of people who will be involved in teaching this class, and it's been long needed. So please consider that if you have, within the last year, been baptized and are relatively new to the church. I'd like to turn your attention to Proverbs, the 11th chapter, and verse number 14. It says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." When people just do what they feel, I can't tell you how many people have told me over the years, "Well, I just feel. I don't need any counsel. I don't need any direction from anybody else." And they're really not concerned so much about what the scriptures say. That's an error. It's a false sense of security that people have, because we're looking at a country that is so independent that we can do whatever we want. Doesn't matter what your lifestyle is. You better just accept me the way I am. Well, I'll tell you one thing. God will not accept anything. Amen. He won't. And then in the book of Judges, the 18th chapter, there's a very powerful scripture. Judges chapter 18 and verse number 7. It says this, "Then the five men departed and came to Laish and saw the people that were there in, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man." We're talking about a people who were independent. We're talking about a people who didn't have any authority over them, a people who didn't have a relationship with anybody else around them that was going to influence them. And that's much like the way it is in our country today. And it is a time in which we have to be very careful. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the Word of God tonight, Lord, that through it we draw closer to you. We'd have a better understanding of what our responsibilities are. And God, open the door for those things to be done that you have orchestrated in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A few weeks ago, I had somebody at the prison after I had preached the message, and they came up to me and said, "You know what I really love about your preaching is you just tell it straight, and you don't beat around the bush. You don't try to somehow fluff it up for us, but you just tell us what we need to do, and that's what we need, Pastor." And then another guy came up to me and said, "Would you mind trading suits with me?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, your suit represents freedom. You could wear my green stuff here, you know." And it's not that I didn't care for his green clothes. Everybody wears green outfits in prison. But you know what? Our righteousness represents freedom, not restrictions, folks. And that's basically what the world's looking for, is some more freedom. Here, the children of Dan were assigned territory that included the Philistines' plain. But instead of fighting for what God had given them, they migrated to Laish, a city far north of Jerusalem. So instead of going where God said that they were supposed to go, wouldn't it be a horrible thing that after Jesus ascended up into heaven, instead of going to Jerusalem, they decided to go to Bethlehem. They just felt like it was an easier trip there. And we won't have to fight, you know, the incline. And at the edge of the land, they were assigned not going into the place where they knew there was going to be some battles. And they soon discovered that the people of Laish were careless, quiet, and secure. There was no magistrate there. There was no judge in the land. There wasn't anybody to declare what was right or wrong that would put them to shame, as it says, in anything. No rules, no laws, no thing that they needed to abide by. And the people of Laish lived there after the manner of the Zidonians. Jezebel's father was the king of Zidon, and they worshiped Baal. And there wasn't too much of any kind of commitment there, and the children of Dan decided to live at the edge of God's kingdom. What a horrible thing to be able to say, well, I'm almost in the church, or I'm living at the edge of the church, or I do come every once in a while. From time to time, I make phone calls, where have you been? And, well, you know, I meant to be there, but I can't make it, and this and that. And I had one of those phone calls this week where someone called I haven't seen in almost a year, but there were all kinds of reasons for not coming. I'm afraid for people who want to live at the edge of the church, living at the outer perimeter on the borders of Laish, and they don't get all of the benefits that are provided as a full member. You know, you can go to a lot of clubs and you can get the partial membership or you can get the full membership, and the full membership always seems to cost a little more and there are more rules. I wonder how many people have fallen out of the church because they stayed too close to where they got in. You know, they just did the minimal amount, you know, baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, but never went any further. We have awesome services and I'm very blessed with great moves of God like we did this morning. It was just such an awesome service, yet no one can afford to live on the edge of God's promised land. God said, go in, take it, fight for it. In fact, we're going to always have to fight for the things that God has given us. My advice is to get right in the middle of everything that is going on in the church. Get involved in as much as you possibly can. Don't make decisions about whether or not should I come to service. Just declare that when the doors are open, I'm going to come. That's the rule my wife and I made a long, long time ago, and it really has blessed us. A Sunday school teacher asked the class, I want you to take a piece of paper, and on one side, write all about the Holy Ghost. And then on the other side, I want you to write all about the devil. So when the time was up, the teacher collected the papers and one little boy had a lot all about the Holy Ghost. And the whole page on that side was filled. But when the teacher flipped the paper over, there was nothing about the devil. And she said, why didn't you write anything about the devil? And he said, I got so carried away with writing about the Holy Ghost, I just didn't have any time for the devil. Glory to God. I just got so carried away with God that I just didn't pay, never mind, if you will, about the enemy. You know, if we're so busy for God, we don't have time to worry about the enemy of our soul. In fact, we don't even have to worry about the flesh. Loving God ought to preoccupy us. And if we get right in the middle of the church, hallelujah, it's going to be very difficult for the enemy to get us out. Turn with me to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 17. It says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Here's what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. That means there has to be a refilling on a regular basis. How? Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And what God is saying is, here's the formula. Be thankful all the time to God and sing melody in your heart. I can't tell you how much that is going on in my life on a regular basis. I'm singing from the time I get up, not out loud, but in my mind, these songs are going, and I'm so grateful for God, thankful for God and what he's doing in my life. I don't know, am I losing my mind, or maybe I am losing my mind to the Holy Ghost, and that's a good thing, because there's so many other things to distract us. And if we are in the middle of the church, our thoughts are preoccupied with the things of God, always speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That just doesn't happen when you are on the edge, but when you're in the middle, when you're just so engrossed in the things of God and wanting to do more for God. I'm so grateful that this is a front row church. Front row church. In some places, sitting in the front row is the price you pay for coming in late, you know? But here, there's almost fist fights for the front row, or at least the front half of the church. And a lot of you people are sitting back there, and I'm not looking at you, because maybe there just isn't enough room in the front. Unfortunately, by the time my message gets back to you, it's got to go through crying babies, carnal saints, heavy hairdos, and talking people. I'm telling you, there's more distractions in the back than there is in the front. And I know how possessive we become of our particular seat, but sometimes, you know, in song service, you see me up here. If I do song service, most of the time my eyes are closed because I don't need any distractions. I want to be focused on God. Love you people, but I don't need to see your faces in the middle of song service. I need to see the throne of God. You know, the only way that we can really have revival is that everybody wants to have revival.
Amen.
Revival doesn't start in the church, it starts in people's heart. It's dangerous to be on the edge or the border of the church. It's the border cities of the country that get the most drugs and crime and violence, you know. It's at the coast, it's at New York City and L.A. That's where the fruits and the nuts are. That's where all of the trends start, you know. But Wisconsin, we're kind of a conservative individual. You'll notice that all the storms are on the coast. They're not in the middle. Hallelujah. It's the outer fringes of the pond that freeze first. That's where the shallow water is. It's the outer edge of the storm that is the most destructive. But right in the middle, in the center, there is calm, there is peace. Right in the middle of the church, there is security and peace, and it doesn't bother us. It's the outer part of the bodies that are subject to loss. Anybody using a skill saw that cut off their kidney? No, it's your outer fringes. It's the fingers. When diabetes strikes, it's the toes and the feet and the fingers. They're subject to all of the loss. Diabetes first hits the extremities, and the reason for that is that they are furthest from the heart and the flow of the blood. So if you're at the edges, you're just not getting the same flow of the spirit and the blood. It's the same way in the spirit. The heart of the church has a hard time reaching those people who are at the edge. I'm not talking about the ones who sit at the end of the pew or the back of the church. I'm talking about the ones who, I'm going to make a greater commitment next year. And that's why we need to resolve in our heart, when I come to church, listen, I'm going to have church. I'll jump for joy and I'll do, some of you don't realize, but before the service, we have a meeting way in the back. And what I ask is, how many of you want to spin tonight? And how many want to jump up in the air? And how many of you want to run the aisles? And then I get the hands, and then they come up here, and they do what they're... No, that's not what we do, you see. It has to come from the heart, you know? But folks, when God speaks to you that you need to start running, you need to start jumping, you need to start praising God, you ought to do that. It demonstrates that you're not just at the edge, but you're in the middle. Because I want every church service to be effective, because there's somebody here that desperately needs a move of God, whether it's a visitor or somebody who's got pain in their back. I want to experience the real church. Not a facsimile of the church, not of something that was kind of like the church. In 2 Samuel 11, the Bible speaks of the death of Abimelech. He was a mighty warrior, but he was killed by a woman who cast a millstone from the wall where he was standing. The question at the autopsy was, why went ye near the wall? You know, how come you got so close to the wall? How come you got so close to that? How come you weren't with the rest of the troops? Right in the middle of it, why did you leave and get so close to the wall where the woman could drop a rock off and kill you? Listen, when you get far removed from the body, you are susceptible to disaster. When we get in the middle of the church, it's hard for the enemy to get to us at all. Amen. And I know this is a message that's preached on a regular basis, but my responsibility as a pastor is to get everybody to heaven. Everybody. Amen. Not everybody sitting on the pews, not everybody that patty cake's nice, but everybody who's decided, I am totally committed to God. Because when that happens, when you're all in one place, in one accord, and when we're all on the same page, God is going to do marvelous things. Because he has to get past, you know, if you're right in the middle of the church, the enemy has to get past the pastor, past her, the pastor's wife, past the assistant pastor, past the youth leader, past the song leader, past the orchestra leader, past the strong saint, past the prayer warriors before he can get to you, you know. But if you're at the edge of the church, you can be picked off by the enemy. Oh, and then there's the word of God, the power of the Spirit, and the power of the blood. Great resistance in the middle of the church. The Bible said Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and eventually he was the mayor of Sodom. Oh, I'm not going there. But then you start to look at these things, and they seem intriguing, and all of a sudden you're there, and then all of a sudden you're in a position. Oh, pastor, I'm not going anywhere. It's not about what you declare that bothers me. It's where you're looking. It's where you're looking that determines where you're going to be. Amen. I just want to look a little. Young people, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't start looking. Because looking will bring you to a place that you shouldn't be. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him... Hallelujah. When they took Jesus for his mock trial, it said in Luke 22 and 5, then took they him and led him and brought him unto the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. You hear about church growth from this pulpit all of the time, but church growth is not going to come through our doors. Growth is on the pews, you see. We can do mailers, and we can do advertisement, and we can broadcast, but, you know, there isn't anything more effective, Brother Brown, than teaching somebody a Bible study or inviting them to come to church, because that's really, really where our influence is. Now, if all of us move to the middle of the church, it would be like a vacuum cleaner sucking sinners into this church. If we all got to that place, I'm not saying that you're at a different level. All I'm saying is, folks, we need to rise up to another level, another dimension, if we really want to see what God is going to do in this church. Hallelujah. The Bible said that Peter followed afar off. Peter, come on, Peter. Peter, you're the one who says, not you, Lord. I'm not going to let them crucify you. But when push came to shove, he followed afar off. How do you know when you're afar off? This is how. The scriptures say he warmed himself by the enemy's fire. Whenever you get comfortable around those people who aren't in the church. I mean, I'm not talking about not being nice to them, but will you prefer them versus somebody within the church? Well, you're following afar off. When saints get cold in their spirit, they find themselves getting comfortable with the enemy. Anytime somebody backslides, I know exactly where they're going. They're going to family who are unsaved. They're going to go to co-workers who are unsaved, and they're going to get reassurance from them saying, well, you're fine just the way you are. They need some confirmation from a sinner that they're fine. The danger flag goes up when people get more excited about worldly events than they do spiritual events. Hallelujah. Churches that cancel church for Super Bowls. What is wrong? I'd be afraid that God would strike me dead. Hallelujah. There's all kinds of clubs and hobbies and sports and interests out there, but nothing is greater than warming yourself by the Spirit of God, getting involved with other people in the church. It's where we get our inspiration, motivation, and satisfaction. Psalms 84 said it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Hallelujah. Amen. It's better. It's better. Zidon was the oldest of the Phoenician cities. It was once a place of power, provision, and protection. Remember Apostolic Faith Church? Wow, that was some church, man. They had recorded all kinds of miracles, but let that never be the appetite of Apostolic Faith Church, folks. It was a well-fortified city surrounded by sea and mountains, and it is a type of the church, but here is a group of people who dwelled in Laish, which is further to the north, and the Bible said that Laish was too far from Zidon in order to be a protection. They had moved from their protection and from the power in order to be in a place where it was careless and there was no judge, there was no magistrate, nobody kept shouting at them from the pulpit. No rules, and they became easy prey for the enemy. Do we realize how important it is to stay in the middle? In the middle. The church is our hope, our help, our refuge, a place of blessing. No matter what the economy is, God doesn't see economy. Amen. All he sees is faithful saints. Yeah. Hallelujah. You cannot work enough jobs in order to make it, but you can be obedient in order to make it. The safest place for your family, for your marriage, for your children is right in the middle of the church. What they need to see is somebody who is faithful, somebody who prays, somebody who continues to follow the word of God. That is the safest place to be. Hallelujah. It's in the church, as close to the center as you can get. God's plan is that we get so wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in the church that there's no way you can be pulled out of the church. Well, I wish I had time to backslide, but I can't because I have too many ministries in the church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'd rather burn out than rust out. Amen. Oh, I'm so busy, really. Are they things that will last? If you get too far from the church, we become just like Laish. We become careless, careless with spiritual things, the things that are most important to God. You start looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at. You start reading things that you shouldn't be reading, and then going and doing things that you shouldn't do, careless in your walk with God. It's the way of the flesh. It's the way of the devil. You're not missing out on anything, young people. You're not. I wish there were some things I could rip out of my mind that happened before I ever got in the church. You have an opportunity, young people, in order to keep yourselves from those temptations and never have to worry about going back in your mind to what could have been or what should have been or what you should not have done. Glory to God. And then the Bible says in Judges 18 and 7, well, they become quiet. That's what it said. I've seen it happen over and over at the edge of the church. Usually, well, people get quiet. They say that they've gotten deeper in God, and boy, it's not about getting deeper in God. It's getting at the edge of the church, and I'm a mature saint, and all of that emotion is just for the new convert. They don't clap their hands anymore. They don't raise their hands anymore. They just simply get quiet, and it is a symptom of no longer being in the middle of the church. I've seen people, and please, I'm not accusing anybody, but I've seen people who used to sit further in front, but they're slowly getting back further and further, and I really am concerned about people who aren't in the ministry of our sound or projection that are up in the balcony, because why? Anybody have room next to them? It's getting quiet. Do you know how God told Joshua how to determine who stole the accursed things when they came into Jericho? He said, line up everybody, and Joshua walked by, and he told them to give God the glory. In other words, I want everybody who's lined up here to start worshiping God. And when he got to Achan and his family, they couldn't worship God. And he's the one who had stolen the accursed things. It's not good when people who have been loud suddenly get quiet. Maybe we all need to get a little louder. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, I'm feeling conviction in here. Then the Bible says they became secure. They started trusting in the wrong things. Thank God for jobs and spouses and houses and health and bank accounts, but don't lean on that. Don't get secure in some of the things that you can produce. Put your trust in God. Lean not to your own understanding, but always trust in the Lord. And if my job fails, and that could happen after this sermon, you still have... You still have the security that God will be there for you. They had no magistrate, still coming to church, but no longer under leadership. No one will tell me what to do, and I'll take your sermon under consideration. And maybe I'll apply it to my life. We need to be under the canopy of safety and the protection of leadership. We need counsel. Young people, you need counsel. Just because you're 18 doesn't mean you have enough information and maturity in order to make certain decisions. You need to talk to your parents. You need to talk to your youth leader. You need to talk to your pastor. You need to talk to somebody who's been around the block a few times. And this world says, okay, you got 18, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, you have the license to do what you want, but I don't know if you have the equipment in order to do that. Why not learn from our mistakes so you don't go through them yourself? Amen. Hallelujah. And then, in that seventh verse, it says, then the Bible says they had no business with any man. That means they broke their fellowship. They had no friends in the church. We need friends who are Holy Ghost filled. Amen. And really love what we love. Amen. You see, I'm afraid for people who just come to church, sit on a pew, but they never interact or have any kind of fellowship with other people within the church, because their fellowship is those people on the job or people who like the same kind of sports or activities or hobbies that they do, because I'm afraid that that's going to influence. They had no business with any man. That's what it says. Fellowship keeps us connected to the church. It keeps us connected to God. It's a God relation that is vertical, and it is the saint relationship that is horizontal, which makes the cross. Laish was destroyed because they were too far from help. And when you get too far from the church and all of a sudden something happens in your life, you know what? I don't know. They just never find a way to get back to the protection. They lived on the edge when they should have been right in the middle. Amen. We need to get tangled up. We need to get involved. You know, some years ago, I remember teaching a message on how trees in the forest, they just don't fall over because all of the root system intertwines with each other, and the storm comes, and because of the roots of all of the different trees, they can't be pulled up or pushed over. You know what would be good is that we got tangled up in an altar call. It was so crowded that you look back and I want to leave, but I can't because there are just too many. You can go to some places in foreign countries where there are so many people. They say in Ethiopia, there are so many thousands and thousands of people that come in a revival, they don't even sit down. They stand up, but they couldn't fall down even if they wanted to because there's so many people pressed in. Well, that would be an awesome thing that would happen in the church, that there are so many people pressed around you at the altar that you just couldn't fall over. Glory to God. So it's the safest place to be. In the middle of the church, involved, and going to a place that God wants you to go. Oh, I know there's going to be battles because of what we stand for, but I'll tell you what, the battles will help us. We'll get everything that God wants for us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you still love me or like me? No. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The altar's open. Would you stand with me?